Pound Town Podcast, Will Burge, Brian Kenny. We are presented by Barstool Sports. We are powered by Live Mixtapes, Movo Photo, and we are not at the farm tonight.
No.
We're on the road,
baby. We're in the field.
We're taking grenades in the trenches. Actually, this is a very nice setting.
Yeah. It's really nice.
We're in the patio Westles in downtown Willie. There's puppies basking in the sun. You're drinking scotch straight up on the...
Somebody here to give us booze this time.
Yeah. You, how fucked up are you going to be by the time you go up on stage?
None fucked up.
I like that.
Good. I'm good at scotch. And this will be like the only one I'll have before I get on stage. I'm going to operate a vehicle at some point.
We have a great show tonight. We are out here for our, we don't really have a name for this thing, but our comedy showcase.
Pound Town Showcase, why not?
Sure, there you go. Come get pounded.
Yeah.
At Westles. That should be the flyer.
Get pounded out.
We're going to bring Kevin on here in a little bit, who makes the shitty flyers. And we're going to confront him about his graphic design skills. We do have a great show tonight, though. We have Mary Santora coming out. She's on the air for another 30 minutes, and then she'll be on her way out. We have...
G.I. Joe Howard.
Joe Howard, who is just an absolute killer and one of the brashest, angriest men I've ever met. But also one of the biggest sweethearts when you text message with him, which is an odd dichotomy for a personality.
He does have a very odd dichotomy, because... When you first like meet Joe Howard, he is that kind of gruff guy, and you want to talk shit to him. Mm-hmm. And he has a very interesting aesthetic with the Santa Claus beard, the all white hair. He used to have the fucking railroad tie villain mustache,
with
the curls. And you want to make jokes, but he does not like that until he knows you very well.
Yes.
If you try and do it out the gate, Joe Howard will fucking hate you. I've seen it a million times.
I love Joe, though. I got to be honest. He was one of those people. And I think why I gravitated towards him early on when I started doing comedy was he reminds me of so many of the guys who are a couple years older than me in high school.
Uh-huh.
And like kind of how I came up, where they bust your balls. And if you even try to come back at them, they will ruin your life.
Yeah.
You have to earn their respect first, and then you can bust balls with them. So I love Joe.
He's willing to go places a lot of people won't.
Oh, yeah. He's like, hell yeah, it's a merry crowd. I forgot. I just wrote a new dead cat joke. So, you know, he's going to go for some shock laughs up there. Jimmy Killias. Jimmy's a great guy.
Jimmy's very funny.
Yeah, Jimmy's very funny. He'll be out here tonight as well. And then we have a drop-in, Carmen. I don't know who he is necessarily, but I saw him at High and Dry last week, and he made me laugh very hard. So.
Good.
Yeah. And he lives in Willoughby, so I told him to come through.
I don't think I know him, but we'll see.
I guarantee you, as soon as you see him, because his face looked familiar, but I can't pinpoint a place where I ever did comedy with him, ever. And he's an old cat, so.
I'm bad at both names and faces. It's not good.
I don't have anything to talk about. I planned literally no. I had so much other stuff going on.
Uh-huh.
I was supposed to record with the girl who went viral on the Titans.
Oh, yeah. That didn't happen?
No, she got very busy with work, which I'm sure is a byproduct of her going viral, and she's in the real estate industry.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't really be mad at her. So we had, but I planned it, and it was like an hour and a half before we were supposed to shoot. Got all that ready. I had to write today, and then getting ready for going to Vegas this weekend to shoot out there. So.
All right.
I don't have anything planned. Are we gonna? How is
Wait, aren't you going to some sort of music festival, some EDM thing?
Yeah, I'm going to Electric Daisy Carnival.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever seen the videos or pictures of this thing?
Probably. I don't know. Everything looks just about the goddamn same with this all these fucking fest wooks. I don't know.
This one
it all seems like my worst nightmare.
Yeah, you would hate every second of this. It's very loud. There's tons and tons of people, and they're listening to music you hate.
You know, I don't hate all of it. I don't hate all dubstep.
Okay.
It's all dubstep to me.
Yeah, okay.
So I was introduced to electronic music. I think dubstep's just heavier bass, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like the trappy headbanger shit.
I don't mind some of that.
Oh, I love that's literally what I like.
Yeah.
There's a pretty natural progression in the EDM world. You like start out as a fan of like, you know, Avicii and Swedish House Mafia and sing-songy EDM, lovey-dovey stuff. And then a couple years later, if you've gone to some festivals or concerts and stuff, all you want to do is just headbang to stuff that makes it sounds like robots fucking. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, baby. I mean, I can get down some robot fucks, but I don't know about all of the music. It's not like it. I don't know. I like some Skrillex is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Skrillex is great.
Get you going.
Great producer.
I don't necessarily know a whole bunch else.
I think it is weird that he cut off all his hair, though.
He just looks like Corey Feldman to me.
Yeah, which, by the way, did you know Corey Feldman is a band?
He's made a complete dick out of himself on TV multiple times. and then got really sad that people laughed at it.
Oh, I just shit on him really hard in a blog the other day.
It's going to hurt his feelings horribly if he sees it.
Well, it wasn't. Well, A, it was because the music was so bad. I thought it was an SNL skit.
No.
That's how bad it was.
I can't remember which like morning show he was on, but he was like dancing around. He's trying to do some Michael Jackson stuff because I'm pretty sure Michael Jackson diddled him.
Oh yeah, that was this is the song, by the way.
I don't think a word has ever downplayed an action more than the word diddle.
Diddle sounds so fun.
Diddle sounds like what you do to a banjo, not ruining somebody's life starting in childhood.
But that's the song that I watched. It was him dressed up like Michael Jackson, dancing around like an idiot.
That Go For It song?
Yeah.
Go for it. Yeah, oh, it's like, so bad.
And I thought it was an SNL skit, and I started reading. I'm like, oh, no, he's serious with this.
Yeah.
And
he's fucked up. Michael Jackson diddled him.
He's playing Riot Fest, which is a punk rock festival in Chicago. And I said that the only thing punk about Corey Feldman is the fact that his face refuses to obey gravity because he's got a real Joan Rivers thing going on. Because he is tight, brother. Speaking of, that guy's wound like a banjo up there. That thing is, whoo! He got some work done.
He's great in The Goonies, though.
He is great in The Goonies. Great movie.
He'll always have that.
Yeah, Corey Feldman's going to be here tonight.
I would love that.
That would be awesome.
And then you shit on him and hurt his feelings.
Sometimes I don't think about the fact that the platform that I run on is so big that some of these people do see what I say. You know what I mean? Not obviously not all of them. Probably not most.
Did you title it "Fuck Corey Feldman's Music Career"?
No, it was all about the Riot Fest lineup
and
release.
Probably not going to make it to his eyes, but I could see Corey Feldman having like Corey Feldman alerts. And if you did something, like, just, like Corey Feldman is a fucking goofy dipshit trying music that he doesn't belong doing.
What would you classify his music as? Not punk rock, that's for sure.
Kid that got diddled and grew up music.
And refuses to continue to grow up?
Dude,
he paused at 14.
It's weird, man. This shit is, like, I do feel bad for the guy, because, like, him and, what was it, Corey Haim was the other Corey? They were the Coreys.
Yep.
I mean, like, that was before my time, but I know some of it. Like, they got, apparently, you know, passed around by the Hollywood elites, from what they're saying.
So, I have heard that, yes. And I wonder, I mean, you think it's probably true, right?
I'd imagine at least some bad shit happened that just broke his brain. And he was just kind of used from a very young age. He was super talented as a little kid.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know. Can you be extremely talented as a kid actor and continue to be a great actor? Because I think they all fall off the train at some point.
Shit, right? Who?
Drew Barrymore is maybe like the one example.
Oh, she fell off the train super. She was like she came back clubs drinking and doing drugs like 14.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like that would be the lifestyle you go into, but then she came back out of it and she was a fantastic actress.
I feel like Selena Gomez is doing okay for herself. No, she has some mental stuff.
I don't even know.
Shit, I don't know, man.
Wait, what was she? Oh, she was on Disney or something?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And Barney.
She was on Barney?
She was on Barney.
I think there was some crazy stuff going down on Barney that nobody wants to talk about.
There's a Barney documentary.
Is there really?
And there's really not much dirt other than people hating it. For no reason. I mean, it's annoying to adults, but overall, a very positive message.
It was a very positive message. My little brother used to watch it, and I did hate it, but I didn't think it was that bad of a show.
Yeah, I sang the songs. Let's Hang Barney from a Tree and shit like that.
Did you ever see Teletubbies?
You know, I caught some of it because it was a cultural phenomenon, but like I don't think my younger sister was ever really into it, so I didn't get too much exposure.
As someone who enjoys the hallucinogenic side of that war of the drug world, you would love Teletubbies. It was, I mean, if it wasn't filled with children, you'd probably get some kind of a restraining order the rest of your life. It would be the perfect concert to go to on a whole bunch of hallucinogens.
I mean, I am just now discovering that apparently I can like and tolerate anime at the age of 34.
Oh, don't do that.
I watched some while doing what you were talking about, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. Those Studio Ghibli movies, it's like Japanese Disney. But, like, their movies are typically darker and, like, insane.
I don't know.
And they're voiced by, like, super famous actors. Like, I watched the one, it's like a pig that's like a flying ace in, like, World War One, and it was voiced by Michael Keaton.
What?
Yeah, there's, like, another one voiced by Christian Bale. Like, a lot of big-name actors, when they translated them, hopped on board with those.
How much do you think you get paid to do one of those?
Fuck if I know. For a Michael Keaton, I don't know, a million or two?
It's got to be good money because they all do it. they all do like the animated movies and stuff, and there's not much work to it.
Well, voiceover work is the dream, man.
Yeah.
You don't do shit. You sit there and talk, and they just give you tea and lozenges and shit.
How do you break into that world?
I really don't know. If I knew, I'd be in that world.
Because technically, I do voiceover work, but it's for a shitty car show that, like, it's on, you know, the station that's not to be named.
Technically, I'm supposed to be on that, but I haven't heard anything in months.
I don't think he has recorded anything yet. So I think he's
they're
starting to record some new stuff here soon. I don't know. I would imagine. But he just told me the first episode's about to air, and it was the first one I did this year, and that was 8 months ago. It was a long time
ago.
It was in fall of last year, so. But yeah, I do like, somebody, every once in a while, he'll send me a commercial for this Buckeye Auto or something. I don't know what they are. And it is an annoyance, but I guess it is easy money.
I did some of it for the lottery, like, you know, radio reads, and then just kind of like some other social media stuff, like for voiceover.
By the way, we had a debate the one day. Uh-huh. I don't know if you've ever been out and about and you see lottery coasters. Brian Kenny's face is usually on them. He is famous. He's the face of the lottery.
Not all the lottery, just Keno.
Just Keno. Just the good stuff.
Yeah, just the good stuff.
Just the true degenerate shit.
We saw my commercial on TV. That was the first time I saw it in the wild.
Really?
Yeah.
I told you I saw it in a gas station.
I still have never seen the gas station one.
Yeah. But on the coasters, you're wearing butterfly wings.
Yeah.
Is that added in Photoshop later, or were you wearing butterfly wings in the show?
No, dog. Butterfly wings. I'm wearing butterfly wings the whole time. Custom made butterfly wings. There's like four pairs.
I don't understand what's the relevance.
I'm a social butterfly. A literal social butterfly.
And how does that relate to Keno? Keno people aren't social butterflies. Keno people pay their number and they stare at that screen like a degenerate. In fact, if you try to talk to them, you might get your hand bit. Don't touch their Keno sheet, that's for sure.
Some people play together. Like, that was the point of the thing, is to bring people physically together, and then COVID hit. We shot the first round of commercials, which the whole thing was about physically bringing people together to play Keno, and we shot it, and it started airing like late January 2020. And then all of a sudden, they're like, this is a state-sponsored commercial about physically bringing people together when the state is now telling everybody to physically, you know, distance. So we're going to pull it, and I was like, I keep all the money, right? And they're like, yeah, you do.
Like, we were hoping you didn't ask that, but yeah.
Well, moving on. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. But then I've done three rounds of those things now.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there any new ones on the horizon?
We shot like a test thing that we got to see if they want to keep running with.
Oh, okay. Can you give us any hints?
No.
Really? Do you have to sign another thing that you can't tell anybody? Or are you just being a...
No, they just asked me not to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No one listens to this.
I'll tell you off air. I'm not fucking with my money.
I say things on here all the time that are just like, oh, nobody listens to this. And you know how many people will say it back to me in the wild? Oh, man. But speaking of COVID, so when everything shut down, I believe I was with Chacon that day, Kevin, who at some point hopefully comes out here, is one of the owner proprietors here at Wessels in downtown Willoughby.
Uh-huh.
And we are at our buddy Flender's house, and we're having a little Sunday fun day. You jumping in here?
Yeah, we got him.
Come on, get in here. Yeah, jump in. Sit down.
Get on in.
I was just bringing.
Let me get a beer.
All right, go grab a beer.
Get a beer.
And so they shut everything down, and we're like, all right, well, none of us are working. We might as well get tanked tonight.
Yeah.
And we're already in a bubble, right? We're already in our own bubble. There's like six of us together. So we got absolutely destroyed. And then fast forward a couple weeks, and they started doing those, you know, places started doing like the to-go drinks, and they do like drive-through lines?
Yeah.
Dude, the news was here because there was so many cars lined all the way down the street. Because they were just slanging drinks out the back door.
Are you allowed to drive with a technically open container?
Well, they weren't open. Actually, I want to get him here on the start. Kevin Chacon, who is the owner proprietor. Getting a little closer to that microphone there.
How's this, guys?
Oh, that's...
How's this, guys?
One more time.
Howdy.
There we go.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what I hear. Okay. So I was just talking about how when did you guys... This place opened its doors, what, a day before COVID or something?
3 days.
Before COVID hit.
3 days before COVID.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
We were just talking about the poor timing of the ad campaign I did that started in January 2020, which was about Keno and physically bringing people together.
Yeah, that's unless they want to do it in their basement or their mom's garage. It wasn't happening, was it?
No, so they cut that off, but that's not nearly as bad as what happened to you. Holy shit.
No, it was really, really trying. A lot of good people are involved here. Willoughby's got a great community.
Yeah.
So everybody came together. we did drive-up cocktails. You can see there's a bank right here, right?
And that's what I was just talking about. Yeah. Dude, there were so many cars. They were, like, lined up down the street.
Yeah. So we did that, like, a month and a half into, like, the main, like, COVID shutdown, right? And I'll never – I think I almost got divorced that night. I ate the mezcal worms. I mean, we were cooped up for, like, months. And we finally, like, all right, we're going to do the drive-through cocktails. We're going to wear masks. We're going to do it right. Two bartenders, three runners, whatever. It didn't matter. An hour into it, we had everybody in the neighborhood showing up, like, oh, yeah, hanging out. Yeah, right? Yeah, so we're like making mezcal drinks, and I would have never have ate those worms in my life. But that day during COVID, I think that's why I'm immune. Yeah, that's all right. Those mezcal
that's
worms.
That's where the cure is at, actually.
I might have did trip balls, by the way.
Yeah.
So you've been involved since the very beginning.
Yes, you're, sir.
One of the owners of this place. What was the thought process when the state shuts everything down 3 days after you open the doors? Like we're completely fucked. We're not going to make it or what?
No. We came together and we thought to ourselves, like, what can we do to make this work? Like, everybody else was in the same boat. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, yeah. Like, there's no way everybody was going to go down. I'll never forget DeWine's rules, right? What was it, like 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
The social distancing. And luckily, we had this side room here. We were able to open it up and get more people in here. But I will never forget when we used to close down at, like, 11 o'clock at night, how crazy the bars were at 10:30.
Oh, yeah.
People ordering 6-7 drinks. Like, the places were packed, you know?
Who would have thought people would abuse the rules once they got put
out? Oh, my God.
The most loyal bar scene I've seen of any other area in Cleveland. Like, downtown Willoughby, people... This is packed every single time I come down here. You don't see this in Lakewood. You don't see this, you know, in the
downtown.
Sixties, fourth.
No, it's unique, and everybody sticks together.
Yeah.
Even, you know, we're all in competition down here, but we all want to see each other do well, because the more people you bring down here, you know, the more money everybody's going
to
make, and that's just how it is.
Park down here.
Yeah.
You remember the heyday with Bruco?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, it was crazy down here.
There used to be some really good comedy shows at that place.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I miss that place.
We all do. There's no place you can see live music or even comedy show with that big of a stage on this side of town, you know?
Right, and they had really good beer, that peanut butter cup porter that they had. Oh, holy shit.
A couple IPAs, a peanut butter. Now, the brewer that invented that beer, he's actually at Collision Bend.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, and
my sister's getting married there next month.
Congratulations. Yeah. Marriage is a great thing.
That's why their beers are so fucking good over there, too.
My sister's getting married there?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is, because your sister's getting married there.
I hope you jump in the river. Oh, you say that
you
now.
Jump over there?
In the river? No. I jump in Lake Erie all day.
But you are, you unknowingly have developed a pretty, I mean, it's only event number two, but developed a pretty nice little room here for comedy on the side of town. We were talking about it when we got done the last show, and I'm like, dude, you're onto something here, because Brian knows, you can usually tell. Rooms develop over time sometimes, and they do get better, but the way it's situated, huge. You got the side room already. You got a little stage up there.
Yeah,
you got a devoted fan base here who just gobbles up tickets.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Yeah,
fan base is huge. I used to run a show at Brothers Lounge, and that is perfect for comedy. It's a bit big, but overall, like, the stage is great, the sound system's wonderful, the seating's nice, a classy feeling place.
Yeah,
but getting people there even every other week, like, sometimes we get 100 people. Most of the time, it was like 20.
Yeah, we'll always be able to pack that room, and I think we're gonna do something to make sure we can use the other side. I don't know if you guys noticed where the sales are up, and we're gonna, next time we do this, we're gonna definitely have it so people can sit on that side. But it's coming along. It's fun.
Yeah,
it really is. Like, everybody loves to laugh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, it's good. My wife and I, one of our first dates was at Hilarities, and who's the big guy that used to MC there? Hilarious local guy, Bill Squire.
Okay, yeah.
Man, he was like usually the best out of everybody there. You know, like, who we saw.
Now he sucks. It's crazy, but that was very funny. So I don't know if you know this, but Kevin and I have known each other since we were second grade, third grade, something like that.
I've seen Will snort a pixie stick.
Yep, he has seen that. I snorted a pixie stick once.
Just one time?
Just one time.
It was, because it burned, I can tell.
You don't do
it a second time. We were, like, in middle school, maybe?
Yeah, it was middle school.
Will was my catcher in baseball. I was like a 220-pound husky guy up there.
Nice.
And I learned how to throw a curveball like 3 minutes before the game started, and Will was the catcher. And all I would do is throw the curveball the whole time. You know, the head coach is like, I'm going to, you know, give you a sign, and you throw the curveball. Nope, every single pitch.
I'm just gonna do it anyways.
And I'd look at Will, and he'd shake his head, yes, it curved, or no, it didn't. Three hit batters later, and here we are.
Dude, we lived in the same neighborhood down the harbor. We used to sneak out and have fires on the beach and terrorize this neighborhood. Dude, there was, I don't want to say the name of the person because I don't know if they listen to the podcast or not, but there was a kid who lived down there.
Big shout out to Jimmy Green and his metal roof house.
Yeah, this dude had a tin house. Yeah, man, it was tin.
Yeah,
I'd never seen a tin house in my life. They had a tin house.
I'll let you have the glory.
Yeah, so we would go sneak in the middle of the night, maybe on substances, maybe not, and grab. And he had a gravel driveway, which is the worst combination. Uh-huh. And we would grab handfuls of rocks, like eight different people, and throw them up in the air so they would just pelt the roof of his house.
Oh, I feel so bad. His big dad would come out and hop in his little truck and run around the neighborhood. Oh my god!
And then there was Teddy Man, who lived next door. Teddy Man, yeah.
Yep.
So Teddy Man was a man with titties. And he,
just from fat, or was it like breast implants,
really,
or was it?
He was like a chubby, kind of shorter situation. Jimmy Buffett looking, mullet wearing, glasses
but
guy.
He had
some movies for sure. Yeah.
You know that Theo Vaughn clip where he's talking about how he used to get all horny looking at his buddies? You could just replace him with Titty Man. He had great.
Titty Man. We made that name up when we were like, right after the day we found all those Playboys in the Wheaties boxes behind
the
convenience.
Juices were flowing when you came up with that one.
Yeah, so he had a bell in his front yard. Mind you, this is directly next door to the tin house that we're terrorizing.
Across the street from Will's house,
yeah, literally, I live across the street. And we'd all sneak over there, same thing. And we'd ring the fuck out of this bell in the middle. And it's a big bell. Like, to the point where he finally took the knocker out of the middle of the bell. So we just run up and hammer it.
He ran an electrical cord up there. Yeah. Like, if we were to touch it, we'd get electrocuted. It never stopped us. But it was funny. There was a lot of bells in that neighborhood, actually.
Yeah, it was. We used to live down there. His mom still lives down there. Spent a lot of time on that. That's like where we go out on the boats and all that shit.
It's a cool neighborhood. It really is. Yeah. It's unique. It's fun going down there. Got the river, got the lake. Uh-oh.
Guard dogs, I like it. They're dead asleep. What is the number one selling drink here at Westlake?
What's that? Number one selling drink? I'd say it's a mix between our Lexi's Lavender, which is a lavender gin drink with lemon, lavender, Tanqueray Ring Pur Gin. It's named after actually one of the daughters of the owners here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm just so happy that it really hit it off as a drink because it means a lot to them. The Fig Jam's Old Fashioned.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
That's what my wife loved.
Yeah, I mean, how many people have Fig Jam in their fridge, right?
Delicious.
Yeah, so, and it's amazing in an old fashioned, but we take a lot of pride here in making good cocktails. There's a lot of competition in Willoughby. There's a lot of pizza joints. There's a lot of taco joints. If you're an Irish, you can come down here and have a blast. Irish pub crawl, but we wanted to be unique. So with that, our speakeasy room and our cocktails, which we have to hit out of the park, you know, we try to be unique, so.
There's something that we have to ask you about because we talk about it all the time in the pod. I know you listen, so you probably know where we're going with this. When people just go to your Facebook page and they just Venmo you, because it's the wildest ticketing system. Brian's always like, just Venmo into the ether. Who knows? Maybe you have a spot. Maybe
type something.
Well, we have something.
Because you're so tight-knit here and you can do better.
Yeah, and if anybody has an issue, like, low key, I'll Facebook creep them on our Wessel's Facebook page. If they have I pay attention and I'll message them private, hey, doors open at 6:30. Let me know if you have any questions. Check in, you know, at the bar. But yeah, if anybody, there's three or four of us that see the messaging on our Facebook page. And if we get any kind of message on there, we're usually on top of it. Yeah. It's real easy to say, hey, 6:30 or you're good to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like we've done Eventbrite in the past. And for events like this, one shot occasions, it's okay just doing the Venmo.
Obviously, and, it doesn't matter because you sell the damn thing out.
Yeah. I know. I know my flyer does suck, but it's the best that we could do. You know what I'm saying?
I was gonna say I need to confront you about your graphic designs. The second one was better though.
Yeah.
Second one was better.
I didn't even see the second one.
Traditionally, the headliner gets the top billing, And okay. I like that you put my name biggest. I mean, I'm down with that.
Well, it's the host. It's the MC. Yeah, exactly. Come on now. You're up there. You're telling the ship where to go.
That's true.
You're calling all the shots.
Well, I am also going to ruin it, and then everybody else is to save it after I go up there. But that's
yes, that's what happened last time. I'm just
rules.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
Only the Canadians put the MC at top.
I'm learning. Yeah, I'm learning.
Well, not even top. The headline is always top, but yeah. Like in Canada, it's treated different. The MC gets paid more. It does more time.
So that's why when we have like Ian and those guys on, they're all were MCs in Canada. Basically.
Yeah, like what we did for my show on Sunday was technically a Canadian style show because Logan
was the feature
the 20
yeah.
up front. I hate being the Canadian style MC. It fucking sucks.
Yeah, well, 20 cold is hard, man. That's
it's a real bitch.
Yeah, especially if you don't have like a really hot crowd because Logan's funny. And yeah. That was a hot crowd, and it took him forever to get them all the way up to the energy level. You know what I mean?
Dude, that was the best crowd. That show
so
was amazing.
There's something else I was going to ask you about. You brought up, remember that story I told Brian about finding the pornos in the Wheaties box?
Yes.
That was with him.
Yes. That was amazing. Yeah. That was like Ocean's 11, but like we were like 8 years old. But yeah, we have a lot of great memories growing up. I'm a big fan of Will. I know Will works a lot, and I'm proud of him. And I'm excited for this event. I'm excited to hang out with you guys.
Are you working or are you hanging? You get to watch it.
I do a little bit of everything. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'll have a couple of cocktails, and I'll probably laugh a lot. So my future ex-wife's coming up here.
All right.
So we're going to hang out with her. Hopefully she doesn't hear this.
Yeah. But hopefully she doesn't listen to us at all, because she already, I know, doesn't think that great of me. This is this podcast. Oh, yeah.
I love when I'm on the work site, like working with a bunch of guys, and I got my butt in my ear and I'm listening to you guys and I just start laughing and like they're like, what is wrong with this dude? Like, probably, no, you guys do a really good job. You really do. I like you guys. You guys mesh real well. And I'm real happy for you guys. I'm happy for tonight. So
that's going to be fun, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
We'll let you get back after it.
Love you guys. See you soon.
See you in there. Air Dap, there you go, buddy. The legend, Kevin Chacon himself. Yeah, it's my buddy for a very, very long time. Good dude, man. Very good dude. I feel like I should eat something.
Me too. My oldest friend's an East Side friend.
Euclid?
From Euclid, yeah, since we were 3.
Want to shout him out?
My buddy Eric Richmond. I don't know if he listens or not.
Oh, fuck Eric.
But, yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, my buddy.
So talk to him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he lives far away, but like I'm going to officiate his wedding ceremony next spring.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, I'm officiating my sister's too.
I actually, oh really? I didn't know that. Maybe I didn't know that. I feel like you told me.
Yeah, as long as it's like, okay, make this thing like 10 minutes, I'm golden. I can make that work.
Yeah. What I heard that Cincinnati's like kind of cool now. Like every last time I was there, it was a crap hole.
Every time I drive in, I'm like, I'm impressed with the look of it. I haven't spent a lot of time like partying and hanging out down there. Like I have family in Cincy too.
Yeah.
So usually when I'm going down there, it's hardy to even see Eric. It's mostly just see like my aunt, my cousins, and that's just hanging out at their houses for the most part.
Yeah. Is there somebody told me there's like a cool downtown area, but I don't really know.
They like it.
Yeah, but everybody who lives wherever they're always says they like it.
It's a really nice looking city. Like I think Cleveland, there's really only one way to come into the city where it's like, this is a pretty cool place. Every other place, like every other entrance into downtown is like, this is industrial and dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you love this place more than anybody I've ever met.
Yes.
So it's insane that you just admitted that.
Yeah. But if you come near the lake, if you're coming in off of the fucking shoreway, it's like, this is really nice.
Yeah,
but
beautiful.
Then if you come in off of any of the other major freeways, it's like, oh, God.
Well,
once you get down here, it's great. But like the entrance, like scenically, it's not the best. And like Pittsburgh looks wonderful. Cincy looks wonderful. Columbus looks just like really high tech.
Yeah.
It just looks like a new city. Cleveland, you see a lot of closed down like plants.
And a lot of them have like windows knocked out because kids throw rocks through.
Yeah, or people just steal all the copper.
Let's see what else I had written down here today.
Those Guardians games were fucking rough, man.
Yeah.
Today was fine. Today they won. Still, you'd want like one game where they explode out of the series, but they kept it 3-1.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say about it. This was a very big letdown in the series.
Huge. To get fucking just run roughshod on by the White Sox, who have been terrible. And
you
then
can't hit a starting pitcher at a 7 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
And what, dude, I had White Sox fans that I work with tweeting Chuck Nasso, who runs a bunch of the social accounts, Sweden at me. Hell yeah, we're back talking about the White Sox. I'm like, you're not back. You just played the Guardians. We're dog shit right now.
Dude, Shane Bieber left everything over the plate. Everything was right there where you know, a hitter's dream. I think they had 15 hits in that game. Like, it was fucking just contact city. Everything was right there. It was just so meaty.
And you can't be over the plate. There's the future ex-wife. Hi, Danielle. I think it's hilarious. That's what he calls her, by the way. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. And he doesn't have the velo he had at once. And it's obviously not coming back, and that's fine.
No, but you're a movement guy now. Be a movement guy. Don't just fucking serve up meatballs.
I know, and everybody's like, hey, man, you have to look to trade him now. You got to look to trade him. They're going to start looking to trade him. I know obviously it's going to be a bunch of value there.
I'm pro that.
You're for it?
I'm for it.
I guess I am, as long as we know that Tristan McKenzie's going to be back, right? Like, then I'm all right with. But if Tristan McKenzie's not going to be back, you are gutting a rotation that has not been very good.
But the young talent has been very good, and you still have been without Savali and McKenzie. And I know Savali was really hit or miss, and it's been very injury prone. I liked what I saw from him this year in his couple starts. But McKenzie, like, you know, that Terrace Major thing, I don't think it's really anything that's supposed to be something that really affects your long-term career prospects. I think it's just like a time thing, like a hamstring almost. Shoulder and hamstring.
Anything shoulder scares me.
Oh, no. But like,
I wasn't supposed to be scared about the Espino thing either, and now look at that.
We are all
2 years in at this point.
Yeah, fuck. God damn it, that's depressing.
I'm just going to pretend like he doesn't exist.
But until I see him again. With Bieber, you know he's gone. He is 100% gone. There's a 0% chance, even if they offer him by far the biggest contract they've ever offered. His agent is Drew Rosenhaus.
Yep.
He is Drew Rosenhaus's first big baseball client that he signed. He 100% has to make giant waves, and he needs to make Shane Bieber the highest pitcher ever played, ever paid. So
do you think he's really going to get that? I don't think he's going to get that contract.
Yeah, I think as long as you are the best pitcher in free agency and you are not dog shit, I think you're going to be the highest pitcher ever paid.
Somebody, one of those New York teams or LA or one of them is going to be just, I don't.
The Mets at this point, the Mets just pay everybody.
Yeah, dude, they're terrible. They're god awful.
I don't know, man. I'm afraid of this pitching lineup we're facing this weekend.
Well, they're going to look great against us.
Carrasco, Scherzer, and then Verlander, all three in a row.
Yes, and we can't hit anybody anyway. So
no, we can't.
I think they should just start bunting every time. Just start bunting everybody.
Oh man, it is depressing. They need to snap out of it in the worst way. And
it felt like they were. The Angels series, I know the Angels aren't good, right? I get it. But it did feel like they found a little something, right? Like they started to walk, they were running back on the field with a little bit of confidence. Their bats looked better. Guys were swinging at better pitches. You know, they're getting hits and timely, and then it just all went away. And there's nothing was good about this White Sox, nothing.
I want to see, and I've been banging the drum since last year, I want to see Sam Hentges be featured in what has been the Karen Jack role.
I
want him to be
agree.
The setup man, 100%. I think that guy's got pure filth, and I would love to see him step into that role, and then Karen Jack, let's let him figure himself out in less high leverage situations.
Completely agree. Yeah, that sucks, though. I really, really thought that was I was like, dude, perfect timing, right? He's got their swagger back a little bit. You got the White Sox coming to town. They are awful. Now the White Sox feel like they can make a run back up towards the top of the division, which isn't true because they're awful. But they did pitch. They played better.
How about that White Sox post game with that one guy talking about how the Guardians were chanting "Fire Tony" and
which isn't even true.
Yeah, like all of that's bullshit, and that's just not the kind of team they are at all.
No, well, and it was so funny because his own co-host was just like, "Yeah, I mean, all right, I guess I don't know what you're talking about." Like he's like, "Yeah, okay, sure, man," and then just like tried to move the conversation along. Everything about the White Sox organization is fucking insufferable. They are such an unlikable organization.
Do you know Benintendi just got, like, in the offseason, the biggest contract they've ever offered?
Yeah.
And it was like 5 years, 75 mil for a Chicago team?
That's kind of crazy. They hate that. They hate, was Reinsdorf or whatever it is? Is that what it is over there?
I don't know. I don't know owners.
Yeah, whoever it is, they hate his guts out there.
I could see it. But, like, at the same time, they've brought in and grown plenty of talent. They just can't put it all together.
Speaking of growing talent, how bad do you feel for this fucking Wembanyama kid at there? Did you see their jersey? Like, if he's not, it'll be a disappointment if he's only Olajuwon. Like, dude,
That's insane.
Adrian Wojnarowski, who I actually very much respect his basketball opinion. I know he breaks a lot of news, and that doesn't mean anything because Schefter's opinion on actual games is awful. But I think Wojnarowski actually knows what he's talking about half time. He's trying to say this is the biggest prospect to ever come in. No one's ever come with this much hype. Like,
it's LeBron.
Dude, it is not even close, the hype that was behind LeBron James coming in. And it's not just like because he was a Cleveland guy and I like LeBron and everything.
No.
And we're all part of it. No, it was 10x what this is right now.
They changed up so much for LeBron James. Like, they started televising his high school games. That's a big fucking swing that had never happened before.
I don't know. We'll find out. Jump on there. Get on the mic.
Here we go.
I will. Hello, guys.
How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good. What are we doing?
I don't know. What are we doing? You tell us.
I mean, what are you feeling?
Well, this is a gardening podcast, and they've just, I don't know if you saw, they just took down the potters. So we're kind of giving them advice on what they should be planting around the
Somehow I don't believe you, but I love plants.
Okay, so what do you think they should be planting?
I think...
Marijuana.
I mean, yeah, but that seems too cool.
Too cool.
Too cool.
Wait, so what does now that you're mean? Talking shit about Westals?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not necessarily. All right. So what are you guys up to? What are you doing?
First of all, what's your name?
My name's Jordan.
Jordan?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What is your green folder? What is this? You just mysteriously walked in. So this
you seem like you're
it's
all business.
Not. Yes. I mean, I'm trying, but I mean, I am drinking, if we're going to be honest. And I do like plants.
Oh, okay.
You know, I like to do stuff with them.
What are you pushing? Go ahead and push it. This is for Barstool Sports.
You're pushing.
So.
All right. Well, this is cool. So this is for Rumble in the Pit.
Cage fight.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah. Let's go. Yeah, you 100% sat down in the right place. Let me see one of these.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is on June 10th.
Where's it at?
This is in Menor, Ohio.
Oh, heck yeah.
By this schedule. So there's a cage fight at some point, but then there's classes beforehand.
Well, this is tentative, let's be real, okay? So we like all these planted stuff we're talking about. We like those.
Cage fight. There's actually a grappling tournament.
Grappling tournament?
Like an Abu Dhabi kind of thing?
No, all right. This is DJ.
Yeah. I actually won Worlds last year.
No shit. No shit.
Yeah, you're actually talking to a famous dude right now.
An assassin here.
So he really will fuck your
he
up.
He says he won Worlds last year. Oh,
disagree.
Can you jump on the mic real quick? Because now I have
to ask
you a
this
question.
Is DJ Yakabuchi.
Yes.
That is a fun-ass name.
Yeah.
Right?
DJ, pull a chair over. Get comfy. Because I need to find out, do you think that Mark Zuckerberg would kick your ass?
Do I think
now that he's the face of jiu-jitsu?
What's that?
There's literally no one that could kick this man's ass.
Did you see that story about Zuckerberg going into the...
I would love nothing more than to... go against Mark Zuckerberg in a jiu-jitsu match, except for he's not on my level because he's a fucking
because
he's a liberal scumbag.
Actually, June 10th, we will do a fundraiser donation based with Mark Zuckerberg and.
Oh, you said you were going to fight Mark Zuckerberg on June 10th. I like it.
All right.
Actually, this is happening now.
You can say anything on here. People, they're not going to believe
you. No, so the thing, I love the fact that he does Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The thing about jiu-jitsu is it literally, like, you get a lot of generic excuses, but jiu-jitsu saved my life. And it's a lot more than this meathead sport that it's made out to be. It's a physical chess match. And for people that have and need an outlet to a lot of things, especially in this fucked up world, it's like, it's second to nothing. So you might see like the most jacked dude in the fucking gym, but then you see a 160-pound kid with purple hair and a septum piercing that'll just rock his shit because that's jiu-jitsu and that's amazing. Now
we actually talk about that exact thing.
Yeah,
if Joe Howard is going to be on the comedy show here tonight.
Yeah,
because I used to do blow-by-blow for a ton of MMA organizations in the region.
I don't mean to interrupt or whatever, but you guys have still not told me what you guys are doing a podcast.
Gardening podcast.
Gardening podcast. Yes,
gardening podcast.
Well,
fertilizers.
It's called Pound Town. It's for Barstool Sports.
Okay.
Dude, I totally thought
for
you guys
Barstool
were
Poles.
With me,
no.
Let's go. All right. I used to do blow by blow for like regional MMA organizations and stuff.
Okay.
And we're talking about like in this day and age, I don't know how anybody goes out in bar fights. Because you have no idea who the person is.
It's funny. Is like I'm that typical meme, right? I am that middle-aged guy that's got cauliflower ear that the frat boy thinks that he can just fuck with, right? And I just wreck his shit.
See, that's so dumb because the first sign that you should not fuck with somebody
that's
is
number
the
one.
Cauliflower.
That's number one.
Yeah, but this day and age, it's a little bit different. Like, I used to, so a lot of my buddies, like, I grew up in this area. So this is the area I kind of grew up in. A lot of my buddies own these bars, and I work security through here. I bounced through here. I worked off my alimony from my divorce through here. And there was a particular dude, when I used to work at Willoughby Brewing Company, it was open. And he was like, look at me. This is a very, very built guy. And he's like, hey, man, we good? And I'm like, yeah, dude, we're good. Why? He's like, big as you are, ears like that. He's like, I don't want no problems with you.
Yeah.
So he knew right away.
Ears,
he knew
man.
Right
Even
away.
If
but
you weren't as big as you
were. Right.
Are,
but
ears.
You get, yeah. But you get your, now you're like your broccoli head TikTokers that are like, I'm the toughest dude in the world because I did SARMs and I could curl. So it's just like, it's a very humbling, cool experience. And like, that's why, like I said, like as much as like jujitsu is like, it's the same thing like when MMA first started. Everyone looked at it like human cockfighting or this Neanderthal. Yep. Sport.
Discipline.
But it's not that. Yeah. It's so much more than that. It's this constantly evolving physical chess match, and that's why it's cool. And it's brought a lot of cool people out of shitty positions.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in before, like, you know, a lot of the good boxers that you would find were in the hood because they were fighting to get out of the hood.
Yep.
Well, now you have these jiu-jitsu gyms that open, and these kids can get out. And that's what I want to offer. And that's why what we're doing with our event is our dunk tank. All the proceeds go to abuse kids. I was an abused kid, so, like, I get it. No, so that's kind of what we're doing here.
Dude, that's awesome. So it's Rumble in the Pit 3, June 10th, 10 a.m. at Upgraded Industries in Mentor. It's got a full, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Hit classes, grappling tournament.
Yeah, you start at 9 a.m. and go till, oh, this starts at 10 a.m. You got, this is a
yeah, dude, we go all, so we go all day
like
long.
I like to start early, end early, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like my drinking life.
Right.
You guys got a hit class going on at the same time.
Right, correct. So it's an all day, it's basically a fitness expo.
That's what I was gonna say. It sounds like an expo.
So if you're not interested in per se the grappling thing, you have 100 other things you could be doing. We have vendors there, we have a mobile IV truck, we have inflatables for the kids, we have a punch
CBD,
machine,
we have
all sorts of things
that's
there.
Awesome.
So what I've Shaman.
Yeah, so what I've tried to do
you
is
might need you get a little closer.
What's so what I've tried to do with my facility is I've tried to cover all bases. Like, I wanted a one-stop shop. So that's why I offer physical therapy and massage therapy, all that inside my place. Not only do I want to make you like the supreme athlete, but I want to be able to fix you if you get fucked up. Because my entire life, like, I had a lot of great coaches. There's no one that was ever like, hey, dude, you know, you blew your ACL out. Like, what should you do to rehab that?
Yeah.
It was kind of like.
Covers the recovery.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the brass tacks of it all. Top three people that you would like to choke out on the mat.
Ah!
on Earth. Famous people that everybody would know. Not like Greg down the street. I fucking hate that guy.
Top three people that I would like to choke out.
Jordan,
Jimmy. Nancy Pelosi. All right. Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah.
I feel
Elon's
like
annoying as fuck.
They all need choked out. Yeah. I'm not left and I'm not right. I'm in the middle to where the least amount of government is the best amount of government.
And just you should just choke government down to size.
they should all be thrown into wood chippers if you ask me.
Naturally, we need both sides, but whatever.
Hi, Jason. All right, so Rumble in the Pit 3, June 10th. Upgraded Industries in Mentor. Was there a website or upgradedindustries.com?
Correct. And then you can follow our social media. We're on Instagram, the same thing, Facebook, and all that. And then we have our jiu-jitsu page, Outcast Jiu-Jitsu. That's on Instagram as well.
Awesome.
All right.
I would like to add, I would like to add, though, I mean, it's great for what we're trying to do is like for autistic kids. And
oh, that's great. Yeah.
That is the main MO, though. Like, just the touch.
Yeah. So one of our trainers, his daughter has CP. So what he's done is he's evolved into one of the trainers that the few, and this is the thing, we got a lot of like questions about people that will work with someone with disabilities or things like that, and a lot of people turn them down. And Nick specifically, because his daughter does have CP, he picks a lot of them up. And dude, I think it's fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Is awesome, man.
So we're all about everybody, every level, making you better and growing.
Changing the stigma.
Hell yeah.
Correct.
All right.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Man. Well, appreciate you stopping over.
I appreciate randomly walking into your guys' podcast. This was awesome, man.
I'll get drunk on Friday. Come to that IV booth.
Come on in, man. Come on in.
Yeah, I've never had one.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
It was good to meet you, my man.
Nice to meet you, too, man.
Good to meet you, brother. Yeah.
I'll tag you in the post when they go up and all that.
Cool. That'd be awesome, man. Thank you, guys.
Very nice to meet you guys. Yeah, you too. Good luck out there. I know pounding the pavement's a tough task. So, yeah. You guys seem nice enough. There you go. Yeah. There you go. That, I still don't quite understand exactly what's happening there, but if you want to get in shape, they will put your ass in shape. There's so much stuff going on.
Full day of getting in shape.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
If Man. You're a real go-getter, this is the place for you.
What were we talking about? And also, I didn't get to hit that pen.
Did you want to?
Nah, never.
Yeah.
You just never know these days.
Yeah.
How are you?
We're in our 30s now. We can't just be taking everybody's pens.
Well, you say that, but I have a couple more drinks. I'll hit anybody's pen. I don't. Sure. Yeah. No question. Yes.
You got to come sit here and talk.
All right. Get in the closest chair.
Hi, everybody.
All right. So what was your question?
My name is Mia, a.k.a. Earth Biscuit. And my question.
I'm sorry. That's literally no. Earth Biscuit. Yes.
My question for these guys is they're currently doing this pod out of a bar patio right now. So how is this experience for you guys?
We're largely just disregarded.
Yeah, most people don't pay attention. To what we
is it
do.
Distracting?
No. He did have a hard time with it at first with the noise and things going
One
on around.
One time
him.
we were in the flats and there was a speaker blasting music directly above my head. So yeah, like I struggled to concentrate.
Yeah.
Cool. It's not, you know, it's not bad. It's I hopefully we say something entertaining to the people and don't drive everybody up there. The good thing about this scenario is everybody's already here to see comedy.
Yeah.
So if we say something fucked up over here, they're just like, oh, that's part of the bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, when we just plop down into a random place, that's a whole different ballgame. You know what I mean? And people are like, what's going on up here? We don't want anything to do with these guys. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But for us, it's not distracting at all.
Yeah. No, this has just been regular.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes. Yeah.
Giving Westals all the free.
Hell yeah.
They're hosting
promos.
Us tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Westals Alibi, downtown Willoughby. Greatest bar on earth.
Earth Biscuit, baby.
Earth Biscuit's out.
Well, this turned into the wildest podcast. one guy wants to choke out Nancy Pelosi and Earth Biscuit. Oh, Jesus. I think I had other stuff, but it's not going to be any funnier than what just happened there.
No,
That's good. Why don't we go get some cocktails in us?
Let's just go out on top.
And put on a way better show in there than we did out here.
All right. There's no use in plugging it at this point because it is about to happen.
It is about to happen. What else you got coming up, though? You got Sassy's coming
Sassy's,
up, right?
Twinsburg. Sassy's in Twinsburg, June 17th. Come to that one. I really want you at that one.
Fuck yeah. June 1st, Akron Rubber Duck Stadium is Barstool Cleveland Night. Go get tickets. You can find them on our social media. A portion of the proceeds goes to the Rising Star Academy, which helps kids with muscular disabilities. I'm on the board there. It's a charity very close to my heart, and they're super happy to be raising money for it. I think we're going to get a bunch of the charity people out there that night, too.
Oh, good.
So I just told them, just be prepared for shenanigans. How much shenanigans? I don't know, because we almost got the bread man fired, apparently. But and if you know, go back and look, the podcast and the video's down, and the podcast has changed.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I just was like, you know what? I love you, bread man. I'm not even going to use his name now, because I don't want to get him in trouble.
Yeah, bread man.
But, you know, he'll hear this. I was like, I love you. For you, I'll do this. I would not, if it was anybody else, I'd be like, sorry, brother. I ain't changing shit.
No.
And it ain't happening again. So.
This is your one time, bread man.
It's your one time, bread man. I hope it's fresh and crispy. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. See you.